Hi, everyone. Welcome to Unjaded for the Road Forward, brought to you by Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, Senior Director of Strategic Planning at Cox Automotive. And it's that time for a relevant and timely conversation with an industry leader to cover the automotive trends and hot topics that should be on every modern dealer or OEM's radar like yours for a smoother and more successful road forward. So let's dive right in. I'm excited to introduce George Nenni, the founder of Generations Digital, a technology marketing analytics firm that empowers car dealers to eliminate advertising waste and maximize their marketing dollars. George is also the author of A Car Dealer's Guide to Google Analytics 4, A Car Dealer's Guide to Digital Marketing, and A Car Dealer's Guide to Google Business Profile, which are all available on Amazon.com. George is also the creator of the popular SEO Chrome extension, GMB Spy. So George, welcome to the Unjaded for the Road Forward series. We are so pleased to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the kind words.
You bet. So George, we both spend a lot of time in dealerships, and we have spent a lot of time with many clients over the last couple of months of conferences and conventions. And, you know, we know that the measurement landscape is changing, the amount of data that our clients have at their fingertips to really understand what's working or what's not is evolving by the day. And in your experience with GA4, GA4 adoption and vendor partner integration, what would you tell dealership groups when it comes to focusing on the transition to GA4? Really top tips for first steps to take, and then also potentially for blind spots to avoid or be aware of as they start moving in this direction.
Okay, yeah, very relevant and timely question. So for dealers, the most important elements around GA4, I think primarily is making sure that they own the GA4 and that they're the admin. So for a lot of dealers, I think they thought that maybe Google Analytics 4 was just like getting the new version of Excel or just kind of a version upgrade. And the reality is it's a brand new analytics installation. It's as if the dealer moved from Google Analytics to Adobe Analytics. It's a brand new install. So they have to be aware that they may not be the admin in the new instance. So make sure that that's happening. The other big piece is to make sure that they're aware of what events are firing and what conversions are firing. In other words, what does the agency or what does the GA4 think a conversion is? And you'd be surprised at some of the answers. In many cases, VDPs, vehicle detail pages, are being marked as conversions, which really overstates the numbers and can really kind of, you know, wreck the analytics for the month. So, you know, our definition of a conversion is any time that you're in touch with a consumer, you may or may not know their name. That includes lead forms, chat starts, digital retail, you know, lead forms, trade leads, click to call, those sort of things, but not page views. So make sure the dealer is very aware of that. In terms of blind spots, I think it's just making sure that the data is all flowing and it all looks normal. There are some sort of idiosyncrasies with GA4. It can be fussy if there's too many scripts running and those sort of things. So just look at the data, make sure it looks reasonable compared to what your GA3 data looks like. And then, you know, partner with the right, you know, agency or website company that fires the Automotive Standards Council events, those are the ASC events, which creates a strong standardization and the ability for dealers to be able to pass vehicle information through the lead forms and through the events, things like VIN number, stock number, you know, year, make, model, the button, you know, language, the button color you can pass through. So lots of intelligence you can pass through. Dealer.com, of course, follows those ASC standards and, you know, enables that for their dealers.
Yes, we've spent a lot of time on the ASC Council and really thinking through the right way to create this apples to apples view or source of truth from a Google Analytics perspective. But one of the pitfalls that I see in having conversations with dealers around measurement in this new world is that they sometimes forget that not all channels, tactics, mediums of advertising are created equal or are there for the same purpose. And so there is still this intense conversation that our clients really need to sharpen pencils around budget allocation. Understanding that, you know, I've said many times on these podcasts or previous webinars, there are switches that any of us can flip to drive, you know, 10,000 VDPs in a single day to a unicorn type vehicle. But you know, it's really important as our clients allocate that budget that they have clear goals, which comes back to your comments around setting up conversions properly in GA4, but to really be thoughtful and deliberate in how they allocate that budget across high, mid, and low funnel tactics. There is still a very important piece of putting your brand out there and explaining to consumers the kind of experience that you're going to give them. And a lot of those types of things are not going to be direct first or last click attribution measurement types of things. So when you're consulting with clients, how are you recommending budget allocation across high, mid, and low funnel? And then what are some of the tactics that our listeners should consider and have on their radar as they start to think differently about ROI with more tools at their fingertips?
Yes, very well stated. You know, high funnel traffic looks very different than low funnel traffic in GA4. And dealers should, their goal should be to have a mixture of the two. You know, when you're looking at an effective Facebook campaign, and paid Facebook campaigns can be very economical for dealers if you can keep your cost per click below maybe 70 or 80 cents. And when you do that, I mean, yes, you're getting people that are on Facebook looking at grandkids or recipes or cars or whatever it is. And the reality is, you know, they're not shopping at the moment, but they can be retargeted or they can see, you know, sort of a conquest ad for a vehicle and then jump into that. The data tells us that that engagement will be very short. It'll be maybe a minute or two compared to maybe a 3 or 4 or 5 minute, you know, search from organic, you know, Google search. But it is high funnel when you can measure other metrics around that. For instance, did the person get on a VDP? Did they advance the photo carousel? They may not convert, but did they shop? Also very important, did they return in subsequent visits? And so with GA4, you have the ability to see the top of the funnel, the middle of the funnel, and the end of the funnel. And dealers should absolutely get a mixture of high funnel, mid funnel, and low funnel, including things like OTT or display ads where appropriate, as long as you can measure the tendency for that shopper to engage and then come back in future visits.
George, what are you seeing when it comes to e-commerce adoption? You know, and there's this vast spectrum from digital retailing tools that produce enhanced leads with more than just a name, a phone number, contact information, but actually start to move towards the deal structure. But from an e-commerce adoption perspective, you know, we have some clients that are just putting their toes in the water. Then we have some that have gone all the way to full automation. How have your clients been successfully starting to move in that direction?
Yeah, I think the way you describe it across a spectrum is the same way I look at it, right? So on one end of the spectrum, you have someone completely buying a vehicle online without ever visiting the store. And at the other end of the spectrum, you might have a trade-in tool or some kind of light digital retailing engagement, and then all kind of shades in between. You know, the data tells us that consumers like digital retailing tools. They engage with trade tools. They engage with calculate my payment or get pre-approved. And so, you know, dealers should pay attention to those metrics because the reality is people that engage with digital retail tools tend to convert better, tend to return in subsequent visits more often. And so, you know, the consumers like those tools. It also has to match the process in the dealership too, though. It can't just be an online play, you know, for the store.
Yes, that gets into my next topic, which is the clients that we've worked with heavily over the last couple of years that are even starting to move in the direction of that fully automated e-commerce, we still see again and again, and we even see it in our most recent consumer buyer journey study that was just recently released, that see it, touch it, feel it, relationship and experience with the dealership organization is still a critical piece. So I think of assisted e-commerce as the primary stepping stone to full automated e-commerce of the future. And, you know, and so we know that at some point that we'll really see an inflection point for high consumer adoption, but we still believe the role of the dealership is going to stay just as important and just as critical. It may look a little bit different, but it's one of the biggest blockers that I'm seeing in our dealership organization's ability to find incrementality, so additional sales from an e-commerce or mostly automated digital checkout channel. But it's because there's kind of this us versus them mentality within the dealership organization, the floor sales teams and the desk sales managers. They're still scared, and they're, you know, all groups, that's okay, are trying to figure out where and how centralized versus decentralized working of these, you know, what used to be just an internet lead that now is a true deal structuring and negotiation. And, you know, one of the areas that I've heard you talk before that I would love you to dive into a little bit more now is how to answer those consumers' questions online, give them what they want online, revolve and evolve your dealership operations around the desired consumer experience, but start to break down those walls of us versus them between traditional brick and mortar and e-commerce. It is a thing of the future, and it is not an us versus them. It is an all-in additional checkout channel for our clients to use. So they've got to bring their people along. What are your thoughts in all of those areas?
Yes, all very true. You know, the power in the equation, the buying equation, really shifted toward the consumer, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And you know, stores that are most successful with it are the ones that embrace that. They embrace the fact that this prospect may know more about this vehicle or this type of vehicle than I do. They're armed with information and they have questions. So satisfy those questions. Satiate that need for, has the vehicle been smoked in? Does it have a third row? Tell me more about it. Maybe run out and take a quick video, take additional photos of the vehicle. You know, don't just, you know, and this is like a typical chat engagement that you may have with a store where you ask some of those questions. You know, oftentimes you get a form, you know, pushed at you. And from the consumer perspective, they really just had a couple quick questions. Satisfy them. Don't close for the lead form yet. Answer those questions, you know, satisfy their needs, and then close for the appointment afterwards once you've answered those questions. You know, my best example is Gary Vaynerchuk's book. Now it's now maybe close to 8 years old, Jab, 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 Right Hook, where he talks about, especially on social media, you want to give information, you want to, you know, give details that the prospect's looking for. And then when you've done all those, then you close for, you know, come in, test drive, see it for yourself. By that time, you've earned enough trust that the consumer's guard is going to be way down. In terms of just connecting, I just want to add, you know, one of the big disconnects, I think, with digital retailing is the dealer feels like they can check the box by just, you know, subscribing, buying the tool. And the reality is, you know, the very best solution will be one that not only works for your dealership, but you also have a vendor who's going to train and reinforce and really give you a good process workflow at the store. Because from the consumer's perspective, if they're going to spend an hour online or a half hour, you know, applying and you know, putting in their credit information and getting downstream in the process, if they walk in the store and they say, well, yeah, it's kind of hard to look you up, let me just get your driver's license, we'll get you started fresh. The consumer says, I wasted my time, things are disconnected, and maybe I don't enjoy this process because I put a lot of time in and I feel like I should be in and out of here quicker.
Yes, that seamless transition online to offline. And then in so many cases, back online, being able to connect all of those dots, having the right tools in place, and then having the right adoption in store across all of the parties that are going to have an opportunity to interact with that consumer are key and are so important as we start to really move towards the consumer satisfaction that we know is going to be required and that really gives our clients the opportunity to hold on to that consumer for that lifetime value that we know is also important. And that's actually a good transition to marketing on third-party sites. That has shifted so much over the last few years. So if you take, for example, Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book, you know, you mentioned consumers are doing so much more research, overwhelmingly using third-party sites. And in some cases, that consumer may know more than the floor salesperson or the internet salesperson initially working that lead. And so, you know, I think even challenging our clients to do things like take that chat, turn it into a video chat in real time, walk right out to the car and give them that virtual dealership experience. You know, our virtual lot anywhere online that our clients have the opportunity to put their brand or their inventory directly in front of the consumer is the most direct indicator of what's getting ready to happen on their physical lot. And on these marketplace sites, or as we see the evolution of what used to be listing sites, that are truly now becoming the places where consumers are looking to build trust and to triangulate between price and availability and features and colors and all of the things that they are comparing as they're narrowing it down and kind of self-propelling through the process. How are you suggesting that modern dealers rethink their marketing strategy around third-party sites and all the things that consumers are doing outside of just their dealership website and OEM sites?
Yes, I, you know, if you follow me on social media, you know, I'm generally a defender of third-party sites. Yeah. I like third-party sites because they're full of car shoppers. And it is getting harder and harder to be able to determine, you know, what is the intent of the person out there shopping on their smartphone or desktop. You know, Google paid search, probably the most inefficient channel that we find with new customers. Dealers typically overspend on paid search. They underspend on social media. And they're always very hesitant about the dollars they spend with third-party classified. So we spend a lot of time unwinding that with the dealer and helping them to kind of understand, you know, all the different value pieces. You know, when you look at traffic in GA4, sources of traffic that sends you fresh shoppers that tend to convert later, it's two sources every time for every dealer.
That's right.
It's either third-party classifieds or OEM sites. And those are for most dealers, two of the most powerful shopping channels they can have. And so, you know, with privacy laws getting tighter and tighter, it becomes harder and harder to be able to target consumers, third-party cookies going away, all those things. You know, we tell dealers to protect their first-party data, you know, the data where shoppers are going to their website or data in the CRM or DMS, but they should also embrace the third party's shopping data because it is their first-party data, and they don't have any restrictions in terms of, you know, privacy, those sort of things. And so they can not only send you leads and send you activity, but they can also retarget, right? So there's Facebook retargeting programs that third parties will often leverage their shopping audience to give you more of it. And so explore those things. Always think in terms of audience. Who has good audiences for car shoppers? How can I leverage those to help my store?
Yes. And George, I've heard you say many times in the past, you know, turn all of those decisions into a math problem. You know, the amount of data that our clients have at their fingertips now. Now, I also always have to say and caveat that with, we see dealers, especially some of our largest and most progressive groups, that get so stuck on a single metric, a cost per sale or a cost per lead, when they're using a very linear or a singular first in or last in model, and they're forgetting all of the pieces that it takes online for a consumer to move through the funnel. And so can you tell us just a little bit more when you say make it a math problem? And then when we think about how our dealers can enable consumers to do more of those steps online, track more of those steps, and then ultimately move the needle towards more of the online conveniences that consumers want, like structuring the deal, self-guiding through aftermarket products, and having the car delivered right to their front door. But how is the math evolving on that? What should our clients be thinking beyond a single attribution model?
Yes, and that we love to say that. Let's turn digital marketing into a math exercise. We have all these digital signals. Now let's turn those into something that's actionable. And so in the end, it's cost per click, cost per shopper, cost per conversion, but it's not always going to be a conversion, right? So if it is upper funnel, you're looking at that cost per click and cost per shopper and, you know, and return visits, right? So being able to really kind of measure those with digital retailing, I mean, it comes into the same thing. I think in that case, you're probably protecting your investment in your cost per shopper, because now they're going to spend more time on the site. You're going to have a higher degree of engagement and a propensity to return. But in the end, yes, it's you can't get stuck on singular metrics with a lot of dealers. I think it's just traffic. They look and say, hey, who's sending me the most clicks every month? And clicks, I think you said earlier, they're so easy to get. Like if someone wants to just get you 10,000 clicks, and dealers should say, I have no interest in 10,000 clicks. I have a ton of interest in 500 shoppers. And so be able to determine shoppers, not just by conversion, but by their engagement, by the return visits, and you know, other related metrics.
Yes. Well, you know, quality over quantity is probably the biggest debate and one of the hardest decisions that we ever made as a leadership team across Cox Automotive, when we were really rethinking the Auto Trader experience and the relevance experience 5-6 years ago. And, you know, and we still have some clients that we have a regular conversation about cost per lead. And, you know, we made this really clear choice that, you know, this wasn't about us generating 5, 10, 15, 20 leads per consumer. It was getting the right consumer to the right car at the right time and driving the right type of quality engagement that has the highest potential for quality two-way conversation and then conversion to a transaction. And, you know, and also driving a lot of traffic to dealership websites. That is a key piece when we get some clients that are very linearly looking at something like a cost per lead, and they don't realize that, you know, one marketplace may be driving 4, 5, 6 plus times the amount of traffic directly into their dealership website. And that traffic may be converting at twice the rate that some of the other channels are. And so it really is a big picture math problem that, you know, we all need to continue getting better at how to prove the value we deliver, but then helping our clients really understand all of the value pieces of the equation to better measure. So, George, now as we wrap up this really incredible conversation with you, I do want to remind everyone that if you don't already own George's 3 incredible books that I think anyone in the automotive industry should read, you can go buy them on Amazon.com. Thank you, George, for being with me today for such a relevant conversation.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. And I am sending a big thank you, as always, to all of you for watching or listening to our second episode of Unjaded for the Road Forward. Don't forget to go to b2b.autotrader.com/unjaded for the Road Forward, where you can sign up to be one of the first to hear when a new episode's released each month, as well as be surprised with subscriber-only bonuses throughout the year. In fact, we'll have our first bonus content for subscribers available in the next couple of weeks, so it is a great time to sign up now. As always, I'm Jade Tara Berry, your host, and I'd like to thank you for joining us for this unjaded discussion aimed at helping you navigate what matters most. Be sure to tune in next month as we'll continue to open conversations with industry leaders, champions, and disruptors on what they're currently seeing, doing, and forecasting is coming next on the road ahead for all of us in the automotive industry. We'll keep cutting through the noise to drive real results together.